The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always. His forever I will be for the love he gave to me when he suffered all alone. This morning we talked about the suffering that Jesus had in his life, not only on the cross, but the suffering that he had in the garden as he prayed. Not my will, but thine. He looked forward to that terrible hour when he would suffer those things. And although he certainly looked forward to it in anxiety, anguish, he also looked toward that time when he would be the Redeemer, the one who would buy us back, all those who live for him, obey him, believe in him. We continue our thoughts from the Garden of Gethsemane this afternoon, because Jesus suffered those things for us. The song says our reaction to this suffering is his forever I will be. Did Jesus suffer on the cross? Absolutely. Terribly are the things that he suffered. But Jesus suffered long before in the garden. He suffered through many of the things in life that we struggle through. The pain, the emotional suffering of teaching people and knowing that they would not accept the truth. He suffered rejection, the toil of his teaching, the toil of his secular job, if you will, being a carpenter. He suffered so many things, leaving heaven, coming to this world, living and dying for us. Therefore, his forever I will be. That's the plan. But will it be the case? All of us must determine that for ourselves. So we have to understand to the best of our ability. We need to try to understand the depth of what Jesus went through, what he did for us. That's what we talked about this morning. I want us to build on that thought this afternoon, and I want us to have a collective mindset of his forever I will be. That's the mindset that we need to have. We're going to break this clause down into its four grammatical parts. His, a predicate adjective. Forever, an adverb. I, a personal pronoun. Will be, a linking verb. So we're going to break this phrase, this clause down into those four grammatical parts, and we'll talk about each one this afternoon. His. That's to whom we belong. His. Jesus Christ. A possessive predicate adjective. It shows possession. When we choose to be Jesus' disciple, what do? We voluntarily give our lives to him. We say, Master, I'm going to serve you. I'm no longer going to serve self. There's a song in our songbook. We may have sung it once or twice. I'm not sure. But the song is, all of self and none of thee. And in this song, it's an invitation song. The song progresses from all of self and none of thee. It works its way down, a little of self and a little of thee. Ultimately, it works its way down to none of self and all of thee. That's a good song. And interestingly, you need to sing every verse of that song for it to make sense. Because as someone is considering their life, and whether or not they are going to turn to Christ, they need to realize that they need to go from being all about self to being all about him and serving him rather than self. So I like that invitation song. In Mark 10, verse 45, we read, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ came to serve us. Should we serve Christ? Yes, we should. But Jesus Christ came to serve us. Mark 10:45. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isn't that amazing? Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. That's the story of Jesus. Jesus Christ, one of the members of the Godhead, the Son, comes down. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he's part of that Godhead. He comes down. He lives as a man. He fashions himself as a man. He humbles himself, and he becomes obedient even to death, the death of the cross, the story of Jesus. Now, just because Jesus came to serve, does that mean that we don't have to serve him? Doesn't mean that at all. But it means that Jesus gave us the example of service. He showed us how to serve by serving man. Therefore, we must serve him. We must serve God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Again, the Philippians passage. We must have the mindset of Christ. We must serve others just as if Christ served us. John 12 and verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do you want to be honored by the Father? Then you have to serve Jesus. Paul wrote as much in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers, the servants of Christ, and stewards, another word for servants, of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you a faithful servant of Christ? We've got to be that faithful servant. We've got to be the faithful steward. And the things that God has given us stewardship over, our time, our money, our energy, our efforts, we've got to be faithful in those realms. So we must put forth the appropriate effort to be faithful. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God requires us to walk in good works. We're created for good works. And I believe I read somewhere in the Bible that we are a new creation if we're Christians. Therefore, when I become a Christian, I'm expected to do good works. James chapter 2 also tells us that faith without works is dead. There are things that we must do to be considered faithful. Our purpose is to serve Christ, to do those good works that he has asked us to do for him. So are we fulfilling our purpose? Romans chapter 6, we mentioned this morning. I want us to look a few verses down, Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. We'll talk about being servants of God, the servants of righteousness. Beginning in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, that would be everybody who has not obeyed the gospel, or of obedience unto righteousness. If you've obeyed the gospel, then you are to be the servant of righteousness. And hopefully most of us in this room are. It may be the case that someone is not, if they're not serving in righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. We talked about that last week in obeying the gospel and baptism's connection to that. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, that is, sin upon sin, iniquity unto iniquity, Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You need to trade that off. You need to get rid of the iniquity upon iniquity, and you need to replace it with righteousness unto holiness, is the idea. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we look at that context. We see death versus life. We see the wages of sin versus the gift of life. And what goes with what? Death goes with sin. Life goes with obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That is, shall we, Christians, continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The point of the whole chapter. We are His as Christians. But don't forget, after everything that we do for Him, we're still what? Luke 17, verse 10. Those unprofitable servants that we talked about recently as well. So we don't need to think of ourselves too highly. We need to think of ourselves as people in need of the grace of God. But when we do find ourselves that faithful servant, then Matthew 25, verse 21, Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been fruitful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of thy Lord." We are His. But also, we have the idea of forever. Forever would be an adverb of time. This adverb describes to what extent or how long we will be His forever. Forever is actually beyond time. You see, we really don't have a proper grasp, a proper concept of forever right now because we've never experienced forever. But one day we will. We'll either experience it in heaven or we'll experience it in hell. One day we will have a concept of forever, but not right now. Question: will every Christian be Jesus forever? Will every Christian belong to Jesus? That Jesus had an apostrophe at the end of it, but you can't hear that when I say it, so let me explain that better. Will every Christian be Jesus's, belong to Jesus forever in the sense that they're going to remain faithful? No. There are many Christians that will what? They will give up the faith. They will no longer be faithful. The Bible plainly teaches that. So when we sing this song then, we don't need to think of it as this: His forever every Christian will be, because we know that not every Christian is going to remain faithful to Him. Rather, we need to think of it as a motto: His forever I will be. I am determined. I will be His forever. I will remain faithful unto death. It's my motto. It is my determination to do so. His forever I will be. Verses to consider on this, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. That congregation was told that they were going to receive these persecutions. It's going to be terrible, but fear none of those things. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may try it. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You telling me, Peter, that some who were called, part of the called, the calling out, the ecclesia, the church, you're telling me that some that are in the church have to make sure of their calling? You're telling me that it's possible they could lose their calling? Yes, Peter, it is possible. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Conditional statement. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is very clear. You have to make sure of your calling and election. And if you do these things, you'll enter in and you'll never fall. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight, Paul said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. 1 John 2, verses 24 and 25. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, eternal life. And contextually, John was talking about, don't you deny Jesus. Don't you deny the deity of Christ, because that's what that group of people was dealing with at that time. There were those teaching that Jesus was not God. John says, don't you deny that. You continue in the doctrine that you have learned, the truth. And if you continue in it, then you'll be okay. So his forever I will be. I is a pronoun that serves to remind us, as the subject of this clause, that each one of us has a personal responsibility to be faithful to Christ. The word I, not you, not he, not she, not they, we sing in the song. His forever he will be, his forever she will be, his forever you will be, his forever I will be, the song says. And that's good, because it shows all of us the importance of our individual responsibility to be faithful to Christ. Now, will it be the case that his forever they will be, his forever he will be, his forever she will be, his forever you will be? Will that be the case? I hope so. But I can't control whether or not anybody else is saved except for me. I can control my fate when it comes to my salvation, because I can choose to obey God or disobey God. I can't force that on you. You have to decide that for yourself. Personal responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul wrote, But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be or should be cast away. Paul says, I'm preaching. I've got this message that Jesus told me to preach, and if I'm not careful, I can fall if I'm not keeping under my body. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. If Paul were to write the same things to me, and he has, he wrote it to all of us. But if he used my name personally, Chase, remember the things that you've learned. Keep them. Continue in them. And for doing this, you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. We must remember to keep the things that we've been taught. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. We see two responsibilities there, don't we? First and foremost, we see our personal responsibility. We will bear our own burden. That is, we will be responsible for our own actions. But verse 2 and 1, 1 and 2. It also shows us that we need to help one another as best we can, too. We need to try to help one another not be overtaken in a fault. But ultimately, the responsibility lies on the shoulders of each one of ourselves. Finally, will be. The linking verb that shows the state of being what? Forever His. His forever, I will be. Is that a guarantee? Is it a guarantee? His forever, I will be. That's guaranteed. You don't have to worry about it. Just go ahead and do what you want. Is that a guarantee? No, it's not. But His forever, I will be, can be my motto. It can be my determination. It can be my goal. And as long as I continue to stick to that and continue to be faithful, then His forever I will be. You see the difference there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's another good motto. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. His forever I will be. Why? Because I'm steadfast, I'm unmovable, always abounding in the Lord's work. I'm keeping Him at the forethought of my mind, at the forefront of my life. He is my goal. I want to see Him. I want to see God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to be with them one day, and all the other faithful that will be with them one day because they lived faithfully. So we put it all together. If you like grammar, you'll like this. If you hated grammar, you won't like this. It'll bring flashbacks that terrify you. I kind of liked grammar. A sentence outline, or what do you call it? Diagram. A sentence diagram. I, the subject. The I is me and the I is you. Think of it, every one of you. I will be, the linking verb. I will be what? I will be His. And how long will I be His? I'll be His forever if I continue in those things that I have learned. Think about your life today. Will you be forever His? If you do those things that we read about today, you will be. But is it a guarantee? Only if you do those things that we read about in the Bible. It's not a guarantee if you go out and do the world. In fact, it's a guarantee that you won't be saved if you go out and live in the world. So what's it going to be? His forever I will be, or His, Satan's, forever I will be? Because you're going to be one of those. You're going to be His, the Father's, or you're going to be His, Satan. We don't want to be Satan's. Think about your life this afternoon. If you have not obeyed the gospel, please do so. We talked about last week, those who obeyed the gospel in the Bible, they did it immediately. They didn't wait. They repented of their sins. They confessed Christ. They put on Christ in baptism for the remission of their sins. Why? Because they believed Him. They believed in Him, and they believed that through Him they could be saved. So repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. It may be the case that you've done that, but you know that you have long since ceased to be a faithful child of God. His forever, you won't be until you return to Him and be His once again. So think about that, and if you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing. You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.